I think with our oldest kids, I probably had too many rules. Just too many of them. And I think I would have chilled on some of them. And in fact, we've had conversations about that. And so I think that's a big deal. I would go back and take a look at the rules. And I also would have led with our two older ones. I would have led more with the grace orientation. I would have done that more. Grace does not mean permission, by the way. Don't confuse the two. And grace, nowhere in the Bible is grace permission. I'm not talking about permission to do things that's wrong, but I think the tenderness and understanding of those things. I think I would have done that. Now I have to quote my kids. This is what they say that we've done well, and they say that both Karen and myself have apologized to them and asked for their forgiveness when we felt that we overextended something. I mean, for example, I tell this story in the book Never Walk Away. I mean, Brendan, our youngest son, you know, you ever have a child that's so much like you, it's pathetic? Karen calls me Brendan Jr. I mean, the boy is just, yeah, he's like me, persistent, you know, driving and this kind of thing. Well, he had been doing something that I warned him about. Well, he came home one evening and I thought that he had done this thing one last time, and you know, I had it. Ain't no negotiation. So I put the hammer down on homeboy. I really did. I just put it down on him and said, "Close your mouth." And you know, that was that. Well, you know what happened. The next morning our oldest daughter said, "Dad, Brendan didn't do that." I said, "What are you talking about? He didn't do it." And I went, "He really didn't." She explained what the deal was. I went to school, got him out of class, and apologized to him and asked him, would he forgive me? And now, I didn't over-apologize because he should have got it from, never mind, but that's it. You know, I think we kind of have done that, and, you know, so I think that that's what they would say. You think so?
Yeah, I think too, as Crawford said that, in fact, recently I wrote a letter to my adult children and apologized if you felt as though you were angry or frustrated. I didn't want to do that, but I said, I apologize for any anger or frustration or any of those things that you feel now. Because it really was a little hard. You know, Crawford was traveling 10 to 14 days a month with Campus Crusade for Christ and his responsibility, and I was a no-nonsense mom. I mean, you dot your I's, you cross your T's, you walk the straight line, and I didn't put up with any foolishness. I was hard on them. I mean, you know, I was like a dictator in the house.
She's overstating it. She's not. You weren't as hard as you.
But one of the things
some
that
some of them were playing you too. Yeah.
Yeah, you know, and I really had to. And it's amazing. Those of us that have boys and girls is that Crawford did rescue me from my boys, because those boys were about to be feminized by a mother that just, those boys would just wear you out to death. And he just had to straighten me out one time. And then I had to help him with the girls that were trying to take my husband for all his money. I said, no way, I'm the only queen in this house. And you are not getting any clothes and all the rest of that kind of stuff. So, you know, we had to switch things. And it was around, you know, when they were in high school. I mean, really, the girls were working the brother out. And then the guys are working me out. Two illustrations. Can I take two illustrations?
I'll tell the girl one. You tell the guy
I'll tell the boy one. Okay, this is the boy one. Otis and Brian, in our house, there are no gender-specific chores around the house. I was raised.
Except for me, I'm exempt.
I was raised. I'm the only girl and the oldest girl in my family. I have two younger brothers, single parent. Crawford had two older sisters, the baby boy, and he was spoiled and he did nothing.
No.
Let me finish.
I worked
the story.
In the yard.
Okay. All right. He worked in the yard, cut the grass. Okay. But here's the deal.
Just tell the story.
So one of the things that God had made it part of my responsibilities in the summertime when our children became age 11, then their responsibilities were upped. You got another area of responsibility, nothing gender specific. The guys scrubbed the bathrooms, you know, got this in the summertime. They learned how to do grocery shopping. Everybody did their own laundry, ironed their own clothes.
Well,
Let me say a word
about the grocery shopping.
Oh, yeah.
Listen, you don't necessarily want to do this, okay?
Well, yeah,
because she said, whatever you saved, you could keep.
Well, we had to put
and so some of the brand stuff, you don't want
to,
you know.
Change yeah. that, yeah. Some of the brand stuff, we were eating stuff that I was even suspicious of.
Yeah.
But anyway, that's what they did in the summertime. And so they had their whole lives, everything was checked. And so when they became in high school, when they, like 10th grade, Brian started working wanted to go into 11th grade. And I said, that's fine, Brian, but remember, you have your chores responsibility. Everybody knows, because it's all posted on the refrigerator. So he says, Mom, I could do that. Okay, you're going to go to school, keep your grades up. You're going to do your chores, and you're going to work at Chick-fil-A.
And play football.
Okay, but I don't care what it is. You have to have things going. So Crawford was out of town this particular week, and it's going until like third week. He was like oblivious to what's happening in the house. And
not totally.
Brian, yes, you were. And Brian was sort of like missing his responsibilities. He says, Mom, I had to close tonight. So he says, I'll do your dishes. I'll iron your clothes, whatever. And Crawford didn't know anything about it. Not that I was being sneaky or anything like that, but Brian was really playing me, right? Because he was tired, had to go do my homework and all that. So he came in the house this one particular day. Crawford is home this week. And he went right down to his bedroom, and Crawford knew that it was his time to do the dishes, to clean up the kitchen and all that, but it was already done. So Crawford calls Brian upstairs, and he calls me into the living room and wants to know what's happening, what's the deal? There's something's not right with this picture. And so I was trying to explain to Crawford, you know, this, and Brian's not saying a word. He threw me under the bus. But at that point, the long and short of it is that I was really rescuing my son. He was being irresponsible. I was doing his work. He was doing all the things that he wanted to do, and that was not what we had talked about. You're supposed to be a man, and you're supposed to do your responsibility. So Crawford, he just talked to me up and down, you know, got me straight, and then got Brian straight, and told Brian, you're not going to live in this house, and you're not going to be a sissy boy. You're going to do your responsibilities, and Karen, you're not going to do this. And so he just let us all just, we just really went after. And then after that, I said, no more. It was. I says, no more will I do that, because I really was wrong, because I was raising a son and rescuing him. And Crawford, last thing is, he said, we're raising you to leave our house. We don't want you to stay here because you're being a mama's boy. You have to leave this house and you have to do your work.
Yeah.
So tell about the daughter.
Yeah. Well, it wasn't exactly as severe
as that. Yes, it was severe.
Yeah, homeboy.
Now, does he look like, do you think that was right, that he was being strong, alpha man? Yes. After that manhood conversation, yes, you were.
Wow. Like, he was just working both sides of the street, you know what I'm saying? And he knew it. And see, this is like, ladies, you know, these boys know how to work you. Little sweet Johnny knows how to work you, baby. And that's what he was doing. And what I can't stand, I don't know about you, when they stand there, look like a deer in a headlight, and go, why? What? Act like you don't know. But that was a little bit of that. Now, you know, I got to tell you, I am a teddy bear. You could knock me over with a feather with my daughters, okay? Mm-hmm. I mean, I don't know what it is. I've had therapy. They can't help me. But... You know, it's just kind of like, you know, and the problem is that I know that they're working me. It ain't like I'm stupid, you know. I know it, but there's a side of me that says you got to take care of the girls, you know, they don't know, and just, you know, help them. So our oldest daughter, I even knew the backstory, so I can't say I was totally ignorant about the situation, but I came home, Brenda and I had come in the house from a ball practice or something like that. And so Karen was gone, and she'd gone shopping or something. And I come in the house, and I get in the house, and, you know, Heather is like...
You can tell the beginning, how we got to that point. The summertime, let me tell, and then you pick it up.
Yes, ma'am.
The summertime, this is our other summertime thing. You go ahead and work, and what a certain amount of money you save, and we will match it, and that will be your summer allowance for your allowance for your clothes for the school year. You got that part? And so Heather had saved up a lot of money. We gave her amount, and so I dropped her off at the mall, and I knew what she could buy, but I was going to help let her make a decision about how many pants and dresses and shoes with all the money this girl had. She had hundreds of dollars. Yes. And so when she came home, I said, don't take anything out, take the tags off. Are you sure this is enough clothes for you to go through the whole school year? Oh, yeah, Mom. Oh, yeah, Mom. Oh, yeah, Mom. So now you pick it up.
Yes, ma'am. And I'm a dude. I don't know. Like, I avoid the women in shopping thing. There's, like, I got allergies related to that. But so she comes in the house. When I come in the house, she starts, like, this tearful thing about, I don't have anything to wear, Dad, and I just...
This is 6 weeks after.
Okay, I don't have anything to wear, Dad, and, I just don't have it, and I just want it. It was one of those rare times I had a few extra shekels, and so I said, you don't have anything to wear? Can't let my daughter go to school naked. So, I said, well, what do you want to do? I said, well, come on, let's go to the mall, and we'll buy a few things. Oh, man, this was not good. We walk out of the door, down the walkway, and here comes Karen pulling up in the driveway. And I'm catching Heather all of a sudden do one of these numbers. And I'm going, I don't know what this is, but something tells me I'm in deep kimchi. You know, it's always my fault. You know, it's like always my fault, so... Karen comes in and sits us both down in the living room and makes Heather go downstairs and empty her closets and bring up all of the clothes, and I get the object lesson, and, I have stupid written all over my forehead again. But, that's kind of the deal. There's only one question, and we got to keep moving.
Okay.
Yeah. All right. Another question, I promise you, we won't tell a lot of stories. Yes, ma'am.